Our last case of the morning is number 22-13945, Eli Nehme versus Florida International University Board of Trustees.
Okay, to proceed, Your Honors. Hey, please, the court. My name is Rod Hanna, and I have the pleasure of representing the plaintiff and appellant in this case, the former third-year medical student, FIU, Eli Nehme. Your Honors, the primary issue for you to address is whether the district judge erred in granting summary judgment to FIU on a threshold issue when she found that, as a matter of law, Eli Nehme was not a qualified student or not a qualified individual with a disability who could meet the educational and technical requirements of the FIU medical school with or without accommodation. The district judge, Your Honors, rendered the decision in face of ample record evidence that Mr. Nehme was a qualified person with a disability who could meet the medical school's academic and technical standards. And he was provided certain accommodations in order for him to take his final exam.
Let me ask you a question about that. And I know that the bulk of this appeal, we're going to be talking about, I assume, the psychiatry exam retake issue. But just based on what you just said, and for the moment, I want to set aside the psychiatry exam retake. Do you just you are disputing, and I guess I'm trying to figure out how that your client. You're saying that he can meet the academic standards of FIU if he has these accommodations. But we're looking at a record where during his third year alone, and he's already on academic probation, he files four initial clerkship exams and scores in the poor performance range and two more. So how can you make the argument that he can meet these academic standards even with accommodations?
Well, if you look at the record indicates that Mr. Nehme is true, and there were some struggles with some of the final exams, including the final exams, the shelf exams in his third year of medical school. But the fact of the matter is, and the evidence shows that he was able to retake those exams, as all students were allowed to do, and pass those exams. And if you look at his GPA for each one of those courses where he failed on the first take of the shelf exams and then passed on the retakes, he got very high grades, 89, 86, I believe, and then I think 83 and 82, for a cumulative GPA for that year of, I'll make sure I get the right numbers. For that term, he had a cumulative GPA of 86.23, which is very well into the competency standards for the medical school, even under their own handbook's definition of those grades.
Does their handbook?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Does the handbook say that average after you've already taken the exam once and then have a chance to take it again, that scoring a mid-B is highly competent? I'd be surprised if that were the case.
It's not. There's nothing in the handbook that talks about what you just talked about. What they do is they talk about what the grade system is, and if you're 80 or above, you show competency. If you're 75 to 80, which I believe is a passing grade still, let's say call it like a C, that shows your marginal efficiency. But he was well within the competency range under the handbook. Now, there is a provision of the handbook that FIU is relying on, and that's the provision in the handbook. It says that if you perform in the low percentiles on three shelf exams, that could be considered poor exam performance. That may, and this is a very important distinction, that may have you called for the MSEPC, which is the committee that analyzes these issues, and also the committee that decides who gets promoted from one period to the next period. In this particular case, and this is very important, that says may, but even though Mr. Nehme got low percentile scores on three shelf exams when he took them the first time around, and then he passed them on the second time for four courses where he got very high grades because he did very well on this clinical side, which I think was 30% of the grade. There's ample record evidence to show the evaluations he got were very high evaluations from the teachers in those courses. But with regard to this issue of whether or not he's qualified, the issue is whether it's a may, which is in the handbook. It may be called. It doesn't say you have to, you'll be dismissed if you get a low performance on the shelf exam. Say you may be called in from the MSEPC.
But I think you're also forgetting there is another part of the handbook that, and he is on academic probation.
Correct.
At the time, it says that a student whose academic performance does not improve and who fails to meet the terms of probation may be recommended for dismissal.
Maybe.
Again, it's still okay.
We've got to look at what the actual facts are. This is what the issue is, whether this should go to a trial to have a jury decide these issues and whether it should be taken out of the jury's hands by a judge, which it shouldn't. In this particular case, he was called before the MSEPC three times. The third time he was called was not because of his poor shelf exam performance. The record evidence is that he was called before the MSEPC the third time. The triggering event was his failure of the psychiatry clerkship, failure of the initial exam take and the retake. And the retake is critical because that's where he was denied the accommodation of being put in a minimal distraction room.
Well, what about the fact that he did not, when he is called before the committee, he doesn't raise the argument that he was not provided with the accommodations. He goes before the appeals committee. He does not raise the argument. He goes before the dean. He does not raise that argument. It's only at the time when the psychiatry exam retake issue is taken at the much later provost appeal stage before Dr. Behar.
Right.
Hasn't he waived this objection at this point?
There's no waiver. I guess for number one, you got to assume, try to put yourself in his shoes, so to speak, what he's going through. And he comes up with various excuses, I agree, at the MSEPC hearing the first time around and on his appeal, his initial appeal. The second appeal, I assume he got some legal advice at that point in time because there seems to be some record evidence of that. And then he realized that maybe he had an issue involving discrimination by not being provided the accommodation, which was investigated by FIU itself internally and found to be true and found to be valid. He didn't waive anything. It wasn't something he brought up after he was actually dismissed from the medical school and gone and tried to get back in. It was something that he brought up during the process, the appeal process. And they took it seriously enough to that Dr. Behar took it seriously enough that she referred to the IDEA, the internal agency or department at FIU for investigating and determining whether or not discrimination took place. And they investigated, a very thorough investigation. They found he had been discriminated against and that discrimination had an adverse impact upon his taking of the exam, the psychiatry exam.
But on returning to the information that Judge Branch was asking about, on 5 out of 7 of the exams that during that period, he failed the first time and only received poor on the 2 that he managed to pass. I'd have a hard time seeing how any medical school could conclude that a person with his past record on top of that was academically qualified to be a physician. That's a very challenging job. That's why it's very difficult to become a physician. I have a hard time understanding how someone who only barely passes 2 out of 7 courses on the first round could be academically qualified.
He passed all of his courses.
On the first round of the exam, he failed 5 out of 7.
Right.
And the 2 that he passed were rated as poor.
Right. But FIU makes a big deal about they have to look at the holistic picture, the whole picture. And if you look at that the only thing where he has some difficulties were on the exam taking, which, of course, could tie into the fact that he's a disabled person, has a learning disability.
But he's not challenging the accommodations for anything besides I see no challenge to the accommodations on the first round, right?
Correct.
So I don't see how that has to do with his disability.
He was accommodated for the first round for every shelf exam. It was when he took the psychiatry shelf exam that they failed to accommodate.
Right, with accommodations, he failed 5 out of 7 shelf exams and received poor performance in 2 out of 7.
On the exams, but he did well in the rest of the courses, in the clinical component, which you can't ignore the fact that he did really well in the clinical components. The rest of the course, he did so well. He got high grades in those courses. He didn't.
I'm sure he must have a great bedside manner and all the things that go into that. But the academic piece of there's a reason that they have these shelf exams, because to be a physician, you have to have certain knowledge. I think we would all want our physicians.
Right. But you got to look at the issue. This is an issue. The question is there an issue of fact with regard to why was he called in front of the MSEPC the third time? It was not because of his shelf exam performance. There's documentary evidence, both in the, I believe it was a cover page when it was sent to the MSEPC, saying the reason for referral wasn't because of poor shelf exam performance. It was because of his failure of the psychiatry clerkship, which would involve the failure of his exam and the retake of the exam, which within that incorporates the failure to accommodate him for the retake of the exam. That's the only reason that's set forth for him being called for the MSEPC the third time. If you look at their decision, they even explained to him this, the written decision where they recommend his withdrawal or dismissal, they say he understood that he was there because of his failure of the psychiatry exam and the failure of the psychiatry course. There's no mention about him being there because of the poor shelf exam. Now, they may have been able to call him for the poor shelf exam performance, but they didn't. The fact of the matter is they didn't. Everything else, all the testimony, the affidavit of Dr. Obiso, or deposition testimony in a case, speculation as to, they may have called him for the MSEPC. They may have dismissed him, but that's all speculation. That's not factual evidence. The factual evidence is he was called before the MSEPC the third time because of his failure of the psychiatry clerkship and the exam, where he was not accommodated by FIU's own admission. He was not accommodated. Now, Your Honors, given that I believe we get past that threshold issue as far as can you say as a matter of law that he was not a qualified student with a disability, the evidence is there that you can't say that as a matter of law. Then you get into the other issues of fact, and there's plenty of issues of fact that he was denied the accommodation. FIU admitted it itself and internally that he was denied the accommodation for the psychiatry shelf exam retake.
Is there any evidence creating an issue of fact that to suggest that that he could have met the academic standards if he'd had the accommodation?
Is there any, it would be speculation whether he would have passed the psychiatry. The only evidence I have is the report of the IDEA, the two reports, where they find, after a thorough investigation, that he not only they found actually that he was a qualified student with a disability, they found that he was denied the accommodation for the exam retake, and that had an adverse impact upon his performance on that exam. So they found that themselves. So I believe that's enough to get to a jury on that issue. I see that I'm out of time, Your Honor, and I'll sit, but I'm requesting that we get a reversal and a remand of the case. Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. It's an honor to be here. My name is Lourdes Weidler, and I represent the Florida International University Board of Trustees. Affirming summary judgment is what this case requires based on this circuit's authority, as well as the facts in this record. We have a struggling medical student. What the appellant fails to recognize is that this student was on academic probation and hanging by a thread since period one. There are four periods. I could tell by the court's questions that the court is familiar with this individual's academic record. But just to review, it's not just period three and his performance on these very important shelf exams. It's not just the failure on his first try of family medicine, surgery, neurology, and OBGYN. But it is what Judge Grant mentioned, which is the poor performance on the retake, falling within this poor competency percentile of 5% to 10%, where he landed in the 7th percentile for both neurology as well as OBGYN. And then, even with an accommodation, which is not disputed, He failed the first psychiatry shelf exam. Shelf exams at period three, which is a person's third year in medical school. And in Mr. Nemi's case, it would be his fourth year because he repeated period two, is a demonstration of their readiness for a licensing exam. A licensing exam is what we measure in a community for public safety measures, what someone can do as a physician in the community. We have an individual that was on academic probation, and under the handbook, academic probation is a precursor to dismissal. They warned him more than two times before he was brought up before the MSCPC the third time that he could be dismissed. And the basis in the handbook, which the district court reviewed, was that he is not showing improvement. You need to show improvement when you're on academic probation, not continued and consistent poor performance.
What about counsel's suggestion that he was dismissed because of the failure of the second psychiatry exam, not because of everything else, since he had retaken those exams and shown success?
I submit that there's no evidence to support that. The same cover that plaintiff relied on indicating that it was the failure of the psychiatry retake is the same cover also says that he's on academic probation. Every student is evaluated individually. And at the MSEPC, they had issued a memorandum. In that memorandum, they talk about his cumulative progress, if you want to call it progress. They talk about his issues, not just the retake. And as Your Honor pointed out, he didn't mention the accommodations during that committee meeting.
Why isn't there at least a question of fact, though, whether it was the retake of the psychiatry exam that landed him before the committee?
Because excluding under the case law, and it would be an outlier if this case gets reversed. But in this circuit, we know that it's based on the student's academic their ability to meet the academic standards and technical standards of the university. It doesn't mean one test. It means that he has to do it in spite of his handicap, with or without the accommodations. And that's why we know there's no dispute on his academic record. He doesn't dispute that he got the accommodations for the same material time for all of those other shelf exams. Your Honor, we have the Goldberg case, which is very similar in the sense that you have a student who was provided accommodations or they failed to or alleged failure to provide accommodations. And before, during, and after the accommodations throughout this individual's entire academic career, he did not meet the standards.
I'll confess, I found it surprising that your school allowed him to retake five exams, especially given his prior record. Is that typical to allow so many retakes in a situation like this?
It is, but at the same time, there were other similarly situated students that were not disabled that were also dismissed. When you have a record like this, and when I say a record, I mean the academic record of the student, universities try to select their best candidates, especially for a profession like a physician. They try to get them to the finish line. But there are times when these evaluators realize that no good deed goes unpunished here, and they try to give him opportunities by repeating the first course, Genes, Molecules, and Cells. He failed it, took the retake, he passed. He failed systems-based practice management. He failed the entire course. He asked for leaves of absences. They gave him 3 months off. He had a professional incident report because of unexcused absences. They gave him a chance. And the chance that they gave him was that he could repeat period two completely. And what is expected when someone has already seen the material is that they do better. But the same academic issues resurfaced on period three because it's new material. And they offered him the accommodations, and that is a law. We have JAMS versus NOVA. We have the Zanyaletabin versus USF case. We have Forbes versus St. Thomas. the Cooney versus Berry case and Ellis versus Moorhead. These are all cases that rule in favor of the universities. And it's longstanding, Your Honors. The United States Supreme Court, although it'll be a different issue based on due process procedures, they give deference to these individuals who evaluate these students at these professional levels. That academic judgment that these physicians that are also professors have, the court must give some deference to their evaluation of the student's performance with or without the accommodations.
Did Mr. Nemi ever pass the cardiovascular and respiratory systems unit?
No, because he failed the remediation. That was one of the reasons why he got sent back to the MSCPC hearing. And then that was in period two. And all of that in favor of the appellant was before FIU referred him to go get psychologically tested. It was at the initiative of the university to send him to the Health and Wellness Center to be evaluated. And that's when accommodations were given to him. But even with those accommodations, he still had to repeat period two because he wasn't making the grades.
What about Mr. Hanna's argument that he, in period three clerkship, outside of the psychiatry exam, he had a GPA of 86.23, which is described as competent in the handbook. How does that not create a genuine issue of material fact of whether he could meet the academic standards?
It doesn't, because he is ignoring that he was already on probation and advised two times before that a continued poor performance would result in dismissal. And I don't think Mr. Hanna or his client can dispute that he was performing well after having to retake 5 out of the 7 exams. The medical school is very important in making sure that its physicians are competent. The district court had asked us to develop a record in this case. I raised these same issues on a motion to dismiss, and that was denied. On summary judgment, it was granted because we had the full record of what was before the MSCPC, which is the complete academic grades probation. We see specifically, despite what Mr. Hanna suggests, is that the remaining shelf exams were not included as part of the analysis. And that's not true. We look at the MSCPC packet that these committee members had, and it is color-coded to show how many times he had to retake each one of the exams, where he fell in competency between the 5 and the 10% for all of these other shelf exams during that material time. Plus, they always reminded him that this is the third time that he's here, that he's already on academic probation.
Has the university taken a position on whether it would have also entered a dismissal had he passed the psychiatry retake?
To go there, Your Honor, would be speculative. But what we do know is that the handbook would have permitted that. And what we do know from the case law in this circuit under Cooney versus Berry is that the handbook is the law for the university. Those are the standards. That is the technicality that this student had to meet. And he failed to meet it even with the accommodations. With respect to the court's order, the court focuses on this threshold issue of qualified of the individual being qualified. There are questions that were potentially raised below regarding the accommodation. And if the court does not have any questions related to that, I won't address that and I will rest on the brief related to whether or not a reasonable accommodation was afforded for the retake. He was in a private room with the proctor alone in an administrative side of the house. They provided him earplugs. They put out signs outside saying, be quiet.
Isn't that going to come down to a factual dispute as to the university would say, we did provide reasonable accommodations. He's going to say you didn't.
Yes, Your Honor. And that's why I leave it to the brief. But in the event that the court wanted to hash out those facts, I did want to present it. My colleague will try to distinguish the case law, all of which are in favor of universities under these circumstances, by saying those were all readmission cases. FIU goes the extra step, which is that it has four steps of procedural safeguards for its students before they get dismissed. So it's not just your MSEPC, then you have your appeals committee that makes a recommendation to your dean. Your dean makes a recommendation to your provost. And then here, the provost, in her wisdom, finally receives a complaint about alleged failure to accommodate.
Does it matter that he didn't raise it at any of the appeal levels below or before the board itself?
No, Your Honor. Okay. No, because this is all based on the handbook and the grades and the fact that accommodations were given and he still failed. That's the bottom line here. The court doesn't need to go any further, and that's why summary judgment should be granted, affirmed.
I want to address a few of the points that counsel made. Just kind of played a little bit loose with the facts and the evidence in this case, particularly about his history prior to getting to period three. There is evidence in the record that the second time he went in front of the MSEPC, he was out on a medical leave of absence, nothing to do with his disability, but a different medical leave of absence, which he had requested and was approved by the MSEPC. That's why he offered to repeat period two. That was his offer, and they accepted that, and they sent him back, and he did period two all over again, and there were no problems with disability issues. There was no problems about accommodation issues, and he went back, and he did well. He passed all his exams. He got grades in the 80s. Had a GPA above 80, showing competency, and the MSEPC promoted him from period two to period three, showing that they believed that he had accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish as a medical student up to that point.
Correct me, please, if I'm misunderstanding the record, but what I had understood was that he didn't score better than marginal competency in any of the period two classes. Is that false?
No. What happened with period two is that period one, he failed a course, the genes and molecules course, and he remediated. He took the exam again and he passed it. So he passed the course and he passed all of period one and went from period one to period two per the MSEPC. In period two, and this is before he was ever given any kind of accommodations, before they ever evaluated him having a disability, a learning disability, he then failed the cardio course, both the initial exam, the retake, and then at that point, he was sent to the MSEPC for the very first time. And they said, we'll let you retake the cardio course, which he did take. Your Honor asked about that. He did take it and pass it. He passed all of the requirements for period two and moved from period two to period three. The systems, interestingly, one of the courses he failed was systems-based practice because he failed the final exam. What the record reflects, he was not allowed to retake that exam because he was out on his medical leave of absence. And also the record shows that he was not accommodated for that exam. They failed to give him accommodation. There's evidence in the report of the IDEA that he failed to get the proper accommodation for that exam, which is probably likely why he failed that exam. But in any event, he was allowed to go back and repeat all of period two, which he did. Without flying colors, you know, with no problems at all with any of the exams.
What about the endocrine system? What was his final grade in that class?
In what class?
Endocrine system.
Endocrine system?
Yes.
I don't have his transcript in front of me, so I'm not sure about the endocrine.
I mean, when you say when you say passed with flying colors, are you saying greater than marginal competency, or are you saying that that was enough and so he passed?
He did, I believe, have two courses where he got 70 something. He got passing grades, but all the other courses he got in the 80s, and I think his cumulative or his term GPA was 81 plus. And then when he went to period three, they allowed him to go to period three, obviously found that he was satisfactorily completed period two. He went to period three, and that's where he had the issue with the shelf exams. And again, we look at the handbook. The handbook says if you have poor shelf exam performance, it may constitute a referral to the MSEPC. It's again a may. It didn't happen. What happened was that he got referred to the MSEPC because of his failure of the psychiatry clerkship, where he had the issue about the failure to accommodate. That's what caused him to be referred to the MSEPC the third time.
Before you conclude.
Yes.
I'm not even sure of the legal significance of this, but what's your response to the argument that no good deed goes unpunished? So here the medical school gave him grace all along, and now it's being argued that at the point at which it finally decided to stop, that there's a legal claim.
There's a legal claim because FIU investigated that claim and found that he was not accommodated. He claimed that he was not accommodated. I know there's a waiver issue argument.
Right, but I'm just talking about the equities of the situation.
They did accommodate him. At least they awarded him the accommodations. He was not accommodated for the systems-based practice exam. There's record evidence of that, and he failed that exam. They considered it a course failure. What happened is he got sent to the MSEPC the second time because I think of a professional incident report and systems-based practice. Failure of that course where he was not allowed to do the retake of the exam, where he also was not accommodated for that exam the first time. And that's where he said, I'm on a medical leave of absence. He was on a medical leave of absence at the time for a number of months, that the best solution would be for me to agree to repeat the entire second year, go back and take the whole thing all over again.
His suggestion, and that's and you're well over your
time. That's what they did. Thank you, Your Honor.
Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning.